John chapter 7. We continue with the exposition of John's Gospel. We'll be reading chapter 7 today, verses 1 through 24. Now, this is after the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus' discourse after that. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea, because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you're doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore Jesus told them, "The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I'm not yet going up to this feast, because for me, the right time has not yet come." Having said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, "Where is that man?" Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Someone said, "He's a good man." Others replied, "No, he deceives the people." But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and began to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having studied?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There's nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" "You're demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who is trying to kill you?" Jesus said to them, "I did one miracle, and you are all astonished. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, although actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a child on the Sabbath. Now if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment." Let's pray. Our Father, we come before your holy word this morning with a bit of fear and trembling, because what is contained in this passage of Scripture is so important and it's so crucial, Lord, to our understanding. And so we ask that you would open up your word to us today and teach us your truth. We look to you. We depend upon you and the ministry of your Spirit to open up your word today. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I work in downtown Dallas. The place where I work, El Centro Community College, is right on Main Street. And so all the parades come right down Main Street. They have the Thanksgiving parade, Christmas parade, and other parades, three or four during the year. And I like to go out and stand on the sidewalk and watch the parades. I've always liked parades. And they have the various high school bands that come marching by. And I like to listen to them and watch them march. You know, each high school that goes by is playing, usually playing a different marching song. And they have their drummers, and they're all marching to the drum beat of that particular marching song. And then the next school comes along, and they're marching to a different drum beat. And you have to listen to your own group and keep in step with the drum beat. Well, today, I'd like to consider drum beats today. Different drum beats among four groups of people that we see in this passage. And those four groups are Jesus' brothers. They marched to a certain drum beat. And the world marched to a drum beat. And the Jews, the Jewish leaders, marched to a drum beat. And the crowd marched to a drum beat. So we see these four groups of people. They're all marching to a certain drum beat. Now, when we use the word drum beat in common speech, what we mean is some kind of philosophy or person or group that is guiding us, that is directing our steps, in which we are trying to keep up with or follow. Well, let's look here at our passage. First of all, Jesus' brothers. They marched to a certain drum beat. This was their drum beat, the drum beat of popular opinion. Because his brothers talked to him and they said, "Jesus, you know, you're beginning to make a name for yourself, but you're really not going to become very famous." I'm interpreting their words, which I think is what they're saying. "You're really not going to make a very big impact unless you go down to the center of population, to the capital of the city, and you do some of your works down there. Go ahead, show yourself to the world." Well, what was their purpose for saying this? Were they really concerned that their brother become more famous? Well, verse 5 sort of lets us know what their real motivation was. It says, verse 5, "For even his own brothers did not believe in him." So, whatever reason they had for wanting him to go was not of the most noble reason. Well, they were interested in popularity. If Jesus became popular, maybe they would become popular. And it says in verse 5, they did not believe in him. But look at what Jesus says in verse 6. He says, "The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right." He says in verse 8, "I am not yet going up to the feast, because for me the time has not yet come." You see, Jesus was not marching to the drumbeat of popular opinion or popularity. He was concerned to march to the drumbeat of the will of his Father, to the timetable that the Father had set, to the Father's sovereignty and providence. Did somebody go turn off the air conditioner in the other room, I think? Somebody's cold in here. So Jesus was marching to the drumbeat of his Father's will. Well, verse 7 says, "The world cannot hate you." He's talking to his brothers. "But it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil." So, we see another group that are marching to a drumbeat here, the world. Well, look at some characteristics of the world. Jesus is talking to his brothers, and he places them in that group of people called the world. Well, the world loves its own people. It loves its people who follow It's philosophy. But look at the characteristics of the world. They not only follow their own philosophy, but they hate Jesus. Well, the world hates Jesus. It welcomes those who are of its own mindset. And verse 13, we read about the fact that the Jews in Jerusalem were all whispering about who is Jesus. Is he really a prophet or is he a false prophet? But no one would say anything publicly. Why? It says in verse 13, for fear of the Jews. So here's another characteristic of the people of the world. They have a fear of man, a fear of people's opinion. And so they won't speak up, even when they know something may be right. Well, we see Jesus is talking to these people. And he says of the world, he says in verse 6, it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. So the world is marching to the drumbeat of evil. And they hate Jesus because he's exposing their evil. Now, Jesus was not afraid to expose evil. For example, let's look in Matthew chapter 23. He's talking to the Pharisees, the religious scholars of his day. And he says to them in Matthew 23:13, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. Now, here's the most highly respected men in their culture, right? In their society. He says, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You do not enter, nor will you let those who enter, who are trying to. Now, that is a very serious indictment, is it not? Against the religious leaders. And in verse 15, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. And then verse 23, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. So what is a hypocrite? Somebody who pretends to be something better than they really are. You give a tenth of your spices, but you've neglected the most important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You see, they did these little legalistic things, but they neglected the very heart of the law, which was justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So, we have the brothers who are marching to the drumbeat of popular opinion. And the world, of which they were a part, was marching to the drumbeat of evil. But Jesus, on the other hand, is marching to the drumbeat of his Father's will. And he is exposing evil. Well, verse 14 says, not until halfway through the feast. Now, Jesus is talking here about the Feast of Tabernacles, which is introduced in verse 2. We read the passage in Leviticus 3 this morning about the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was one of the three great yearly festivals of the Jews, in which males in particular were supposed to go to Jerusalem and worship. It happened in the fall of the year, after the harvest, the seventh month of the Jewish year. And it took place 5 days after the Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement was on the 10th day of the month, and tabernacles are booths, as it's sometimes called, began on the 15th day and lasted a week plus one more day. And it was during this time, as the passage tells us in Leviticus, that the people would construct little huts made out of branches, and they would live in them for 7 or 8 days, and they would remember when God brought them out of Egypt, and they lived in such little booths, little tabernacles, little lean-tos, we might call them, after their escape from Egypt. And so they would remember that and give thanks to God that He delivered them. And they would also rejoice in the harvest that they had gathered. So it was a festival of rejoicing and happiness and remembrance for the Jews. Very important festival. Well, verse 14, halfway through the festival, Jesus goes down to Jerusalem. And He goes into the temple courts. He's not on the outskirts of the city. He's not behind the corner, but He's right there in the temple courts. And He begins to teach. And the Jews were amazed. Now, usually, or many times in the Gospel of John, when it says the Jews, it's referring to the Jewish leaders in particular. They were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having studied?" And Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from Him who sent me." Now, it's not that Jesus hadn't studied. He had studied a lot, but He hadn't studied in their schools, in their particular rabbinical schools, and gotten degrees from their schools. He didn't have approved degrees. He was a self-studied man. Of course, He was trained, no doubt, by His father and teachers in the temple at age 12. We know that. And local rabbis, probably, in Nazareth. And Jesus says, "Well, the teaching is not my own. It comes from Him who sent me." And He says, "If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself." And so He's talking to the Jewish leaders. And He says, "But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth." So Jesus is telling the Jewish leaders here that you're marching to the drumbeat of self-honor. You're trying to honor yourselves. You're patting one another on the back. "Oh, what great religious people we are." But Jesus says, "I'm marching to a different drumbeat. I'm marching again to seek the Father's honor. Not only the Father's will, but the Father's honor and glory." You see, they rejected Christ's teaching because they were not seeking God's will. They were seeking their own honor. They couldn't get their mind off themselves long enough to listen to Jesus and see what He had to say. Their minds were so encapsulated by their own religious tradition that they couldn't break through. They couldn't hear. They couldn't see what Jesus was saying. And this was a very serious mistake they made. Not choosing to do God's will. Refusing to listen to Jesus Christ. Because look what it led to, other sins. Remember in verse 1 of chapter 7, it says that Jesus was staying away from Jerusalem, from Judea rather, because the Jews were wanting to take His life. He was already a wanted man. In verse 11, the Jews were watching for Him. And verse 19, He says, "Why are you trying to kill me?" You see, doing their own thing, seeking their own glory, fundamentally corrupted them in the very center of their being, and it led to more and terrible sins. They were really murderous people. Supposed to be the very cream of the crop of first century Judaism. But they were murderers. Well, they marched to the drumbeat of seeking their own honor and glory. But Jesus marched to another drumbeat. He sought the honor of God, his Father. Now he says that his teaching comes from God the Father. Now this is one of the great fundamental truths and realities that we see in the Gospel of John, that Jesus says in several places, he says it over and over again, that this teaching that I'm giving you is not just mine. I'm telling you what the Father is saying. I'm communicating to you his will. It's not just me, but the Father is teaching me and telling me and standing behind everything I'm saying to you. They didn't like that. Jesus said, I and the Father are one, in another place in John's Gospel. In other words, if you see me, if you hear me, if you hear my teaching, you see my character, you are seeing God the Father. So Jesus marches to the drumbeat of seeking his Father's honor. And he is a man of truth. There's nothing false in him. Well, verse 20, we see a fourth group of people, the crowds. You're demon possessed, the crowds answered. Who's trying to kill you? And so Jesus begins to talk to them. You see, and he talks to them, and then at verse 24 he says, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. So we see that the crowd, they were marching to the drumbeat of outward appearances. What appeared to be religious, but was fundamentally flawed. And Jesus begins to talk to them. And he said, I did one miracle. And he's talking about that miracle in chapter 5 where the man at the pool of Bethesda was healed, and he healed on the Sabbath. And Jesus, he'd been sick, he'd been an invalid for 38 years. Jesus healed him, told him to pick up his bed and his mat and walk. And that incensed the Jews. That Jesus was so brash as to heal a man on the Sabbath day and then tell him to pick up his mat and go home. They were infuriated. And that wasn't the first time that Jesus had healed somebody. Remember the man with the withered hand? Jesus healed him on the Sabbath, and they were infuriated about that. Well, you see, they repeatedly got upset with Jesus for doing good on the Sabbath. There was that time when he took his disciples and they were traveling through a grain field and they were hungry. And Jesus told them, just break off some grain and eat some. And they got mad about that. He said, don't you remember David even went into the temple and had his men eat the showbread? So there's precedent for that. So they were so hung up. It was like the Sabbath was their idol instead of the Lord of the Sabbath. They tried to please the rule of the Sabbath rather than the Lord of the Sabbath. Mercy, justice, and kindness. These were the heart of the law, and they neglected those things. And Jesus uses the example. He says, you know, you even circumcise on the Sabbath. If a boy's birthday, the eighth day of his birth falls on the Sabbath, you don't think he'd think about going and circumcising him on the Sabbath? And here, I do a great miracle of healing. I heal a whole man, he says, on verse 24. That man who'd been an invalid for 38 years, that man with the withered hand. And you get upset. You get all bent out of shape about that. So your religion is superficial. It's not dealing with the very heart issues that you need to focus on. They were marching to the drumbeat of appearances, outward appearances, religious tradition. But Jesus was marching to the drumbeat of true righteousness, of true compassion. Jesus was the interpreter of the law. He says, "You have heard it said, but I say." Because he was the one who actually gave the law to them. He was God come among his people. They failed to understand God's will. Listen to what Zechariah 7:9 says. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, dispense true justice and practice righteousness and compassion each to his brother." But that didn't register with them. Jesus followed the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. They followed the letter of the law, at least their own interpretation of the law, but neglected the spirit of the law. Justice, mercy, compassion. Well, we've got four groups of people here in this passage. The brothers, they're marching to the drumbeat of popularity. And the world is marching to the drumbeat of evil, of political correctness. And the Jews are marching to the drumbeat of self-honor. And the crowd is marching to the drumbeat of outward appearances, of religious tradition. But Jesus is marching to another drumbeat. He's marching to the drumbeat of the Father's will and the drumbeat of righteousness, the exposure of evil, and to the drumbeat of honoring the Father and the drumbeat of true righteousness, the law and the spirit of the law. And so, as we consider this passage today, perhaps we should ask ourselves, whose drumbeat do we march to? Do we at times find that our mindset may be a little too close to the Jesus brothers or to the world or to the Jews or to the crowd than it should be? And whose timetable are we marching to? Whose sovereignty are we submitted to? Is it the Lord's, or is it our own agenda? And whose honor are we seeking? Are we seeking honor and glory for ourselves, or God's honor and glory? Whose will are we seeking? Are we sincerely seeking God's will in all the various areas of our life? And how do we find the teachings of Jesus Christ? For some people, the teachings of Jesus Christ are offensive. They're too harsh. They're too restrictive. And they reject those teachings and those truths. But to reject Jesus Christ and his teachings is a very serious matter. Verse 17 says, "If anyone chooses to do God's will, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." The scripture is saying here that if a person really wants to know and do God's will, he will listen to Christ's teachings and he will know whether Jesus is from God or if he's not from God. Now, verse 17 is a very sobering verse. It's of tremendous importance because it's really an indictment against the world of unbelievers. Those who reject Jesus, the Son of God, and refuse to hear and obey his teachings. They refuse to submit to his lordship. You see, to refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, to refuse to bow to his lordship, reveals that at the very core of a person's being, there's a fundamental problem. They don't really want to do God's will. They prefer to do their own will. They prefer their own understanding of religion and their own agenda of how to live their lives. But you see, this is really the condition of all mankind, of all people. This was the condition of Jesus' brothers. Think of this. They grew up with the very Son of God. They saw him and they heard him every day. They saw how he interacted with people. They saw how he was submitted to his parents and to God the Father. And then they began to either hear about or see his miraculous works. They knew what quality of person he was. But they refused to believe in him. Can you imagine that? It seems almost impossible that they could grow up with the very Son of God, live with him for 18 or 20 or 25 years, and yet refuse to believe that he was the Son of God. In fact, as it seems in this passage, they're mocking him. Go ahead, Jesus. Go down there and make a name for yourself. There's even the possibility that they wanted him to go to the feast because they knew the Jewish leadership was about to kill him. And they wanted to get rid of him because he made them uncomfortable. He exposed their sin. And they would have liked for him to be permanently removed from their presence. He made them look bad because of his sincere devotion and love for his Heavenly Father. So perhaps their religion was more like that of the Jewish leadership. It was superficial obedience to the law, but fundamentally lacking the very heart of true religion when it came to love and obedience and compassion, the very heart and basis of the law. And so these brothers, there were four of them, and they are named. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. These four men rejected Jesus. But that's not the end of the story. Their story is our story. After Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and after he ascended back to heaven, Acts 1:14 lists the disciples of Jesus and those who were gathered with them in that room, waiting upon Jesus' command for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, lists the 11 disciples and says, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Something happened. Something happened to the brothers. We don't know when it happened. Were they there at the cross and saw him suffering? Did they hear of his resurrection on that first day? Perhaps they were even among those 500 that saw him at one time. But something happened and changed them in the very core of their being, from being unbelievers to being believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, one of them, in particular, became a leader in the early church, James. When Paul's testifying after his conversion, they went into Arabia for 3 years, and then afterward he went up to Jerusalem, and he saw Peter, And he says in Galatians 1:19, I did not see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So here he's an apostle. He was an unbeliever. Fundamentally changed in the very core of his being. And we believe, the church has believed, that the author of the book of James is probably this same man, the Lord's brother. Likewise, the book of Jude. One of the brothers was named Jude. It's believed by many people that the other brother, this other brother, is the author of the book of Jude. So, here they were. They had been unbelievers. And when Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead, perhaps they thought about those words that Jesus had told them. When he said to them, the right time for me has not yet come, but for you any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify what it does is evil. Maybe those words stung them and pierced into their hearts, and they realized that they were aligned with the world and they were enemies of the Son of God, who was their own brother. Of all people, they should have been supporters of him. But they weren't. And Jesus, he condemned the Pharisees, the leaders, because they didn't want to listen to his teaching. They were more consumed with their own honor than with God's honor. They may have been there that day in Jerusalem when Jesus was speaking to the crowds and he was telling them this. When he told the crowd, stop judging by mere appearance, but make a right judgment. They were there. They were among the crowds. They probably heard these very words. And the Holy Spirit brought these words to their remembrance. At least I'm supposing this may well have happened, and led to their conversion. Well, so what is the lesson for us today? First of all, we must listen to the right drumbeat. We must not listen to the drumbeat of popular opinion or popularity, to the drumbeat of an evil world that's aligned against God, to the drumbeat of self-glorification and self-honor, to the drumbeat of outward shallow religion. But we must listen to the drumbeat of God and of His will, and seek to live for His honor and for His glory, and to implement in our lives, in our church, true religion, which is righteousness, mercy, compassion, and truth, among other things. You see, another related truth here is that the Holy Spirit must change the human heart. You could grow up with the Son of God and rub shoulders with Him every day and still deny Him, because it takes the Holy Spirit to convert a man or woman's heart. Another great truth in this passage is that Jesus' teaching comes directly from God. This is what gives His teaching authority. This is why the Jews and others hated it, because it didn't fit into their mold of shallow, superficial religion. Well, Jesus was a faithful witness. He taught what the Father taught Him. He was a faithful representative, a faithful ambassador we must do the same. And Jesus was a man of truth. He taught the truth of God directly as God gave it to him. And we need to hear him and to be people of truth. Jesus is the man of truth. He honors the Father. He glorifies the Father. And he teaches us what true religion is that pleases God. So let us hear him. Let us embrace him. Let us obey him. And let us worship him. And let us march by his drumbeat so that we might honor him all the days of our lives until we arrive safely in his heavenly kingdom. Let us pray. We thank you, our Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who was able to perceive people's true motivations and expose their evil. And we thank you for the purity of his own service to you, that he taught only what you taught him. He did only your will for him. And he honored you. And he taught about true religion, its compassion and love and mercy and truth. We thank you for this great Savior. Enable us to reflect him in our own lives, to follow him and worship him, until we arrive safely in his presence. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.